Random House Audio presents To the End of the Land by David Grossman. Read for you by Arthur Morey. Prologue, 1967.
Hey, girl, quiet.
Who is that?
Be quiet, you woke everyone up.
But I was holding her.
Who?
On the rock. We were sitting together.
What rock are you talking about? Let us sleep.
Then she just fell.
All this shouting and singing.
But I was asleep.
And you were shouting.
She just let go of my hand and fell.
Stop it. Go to sleep.
Turn on a light.
Are you crazy? They'll kill us if we do that.
Wait.
What?
I was singing.
Singing, shouting, everything. Now be quiet.
What was I singing?
What were you singing?
In my sleep, what was I singing?
I'm supposed to know what you were singing? A bunch of shouts, that's what you were singing. What was I singing, she wants to know.
You don't remember the song?
Look, are you nuts? I'm barely alive.
But who are you?
Room 3.
You're in isolation too?
Gotta get back.
Don't go. Did you leave? Wait, hello?
Gone.
But what was I singing?
And the next night he woke her up again, angry at her for singing at the top of her lungs and waking up the whole hospital. And she begged him to try to remember if it was the same song from the night before. She was desperate to know, because of her dream, which kept getting dreamed almost every night during those years. An utterly white dream. Everything in it was white. The streets and the houses and the trees and the cats and dogs and the rock at the edge of the cliff. And Ada, her red-headed friend, was also entirely white, without a drop of blood in her face or body, without a drop of color in her hair. But he couldn't remember which song it was this time, either. His whole body was shuddering, and she shuddered back at him from her bed. "We're like a pair of castanets," he said, and to her surprise she burst out with bright laughter that tickled him inside. He had used up all his strength on the journey from his room to hers, 35 steps, resting after each one, holding on to walls, door frames, empty food carts. Now he flopped onto the sticky linoleum floor in her doorway. For several minutes they both breathed heavily. He wanted to make her laugh again, but he could no longer speak. And then he must have fallen asleep, until her voice woke him.
"Tell me something."
"What? Who is it?"
"It's me."
"You?
Tell me. Am I alone in this room?"
"How should I know?"
"Are you, like, shivering?"
"Yeah, shivering."
"How high is yours?"
"It was 40 this evening."
"Mine was 40.3. When do you die?"
"At 42.
"That's close."
"No, no, you still have time."
"Don't go. I'm scared."
"Do you hear?"
"What?"
"How quiet it is suddenly."
"Were there booms before?"
"Cannons."
"I keep sleeping, and all of a sudden it's nighttime again."
"'Cause there's a blackout."
"I think they're winning."
"Who?"
"The Arabs."
"No way."
"They've occupied Tel Aviv."
"What are you? Who told you that?"
"I don't know. Maybe I heard it."
"You dreamed it."
"No. They said it here. Someone. Before. I heard voices."
"It's from the fever. Nightmares. I have them too."
"My dream. I was with my friend."
"Maybe you know."
"What?"
"Which direction I came from."
"I don't know anything here."
"How long for you?"
"Don't know."
"Me, 4 days. Maybe a week."
"Wait. Where's the nurse?
At night she's in Internal A. She's an Arab.
How do you know? You can hear it when she talks. You're shaking.
My mouth, my whole face.
But where is everybody?
They're not taking us to the bomb shelter.
Why?
So we don't infect them.
Wait, so it's just us?
And the nurse.
I thought...
What?
If you could sing it for me.
That again?
Just hum.
I'm leaving.
If it was the other way around, I would sing to you.
Gotta get back.
Where?
Where? Where? To lie with my forefathers, to bring me down with sorrow to the grave, that's where.
What? What was that? Wait, do I know you? Hey, come back.
And the next night, too, before midnight, he came to stand in her doorway and scolded her again, and complained that she was singing in her sleep, waking him and the whole world. And she smiled to herself and asked if his room was really that far. And that was when he realized, from her voice, that she wasn't where she had been the night before, and the night before that.
"Because now I'm sitting," she explained.
He asked cautiously, "But why are you sitting?"
"Because I couldn't sleep," she said. "And I wasn't singing. I was sitting here quietly, waiting for you."
They both thought it was getting even darker. A new wave of heat, which may have had nothing to do with her illness, climbed up from Aura's toes and sparked red spots on her neck and face. "It's a good thing it's dark," she thought, and held her loose pajama collar up to her neck. Finally, from the doorway, he cleared his throat softly and said, "Well, I have to get back."
"But why?"
she asked. He said he urgently had to tar and feather himself. She didn't get it, but then she got it and laughed deeply.
"Come on, dummy, enough with your act. I put a chair out for you next to me."
He felt along the doorway, metal cabinets and beds, until he stopped way off, leaned his arms on an empty bed, and panted loudly.
"I'm here," he groaned.
"Come closer to me," she said.
"Wait, let me catch my breath."
The darkness filled her with courage, and she said in a loud voice, in her voice of health, of beaches and paddleball and swimming out to the rafts on quiet beach,
"What are you afraid of? I don't bite."
He mumbled,
"Okay, okay, I get it. I'm barely alive."
His grumbling tone and the heavy way he dragged his feet touched her.
"We're kind of like an elderly couple," she thought.
"Ouch!
What happened?"
"One of these beds just decided to..."
"Fuck!
So have you heard of the law of malicious..."
"What did you say?"
"The law of malicious furniture. Heard of it?"
"Are you coming or not?"
The trembling wouldn't stop, and sometimes it turned into long shivers, and when they talked their speech was choppy, and they often had to wait for a pause in the trembling, a brief calming of the face and mouth muscles. And then they would quickly spit out the words in high, tense voices, and the stammering crushed the sentences in their mouths.
"How old are you?"
16. "And you?"
"And a quarter."
"I have jaundice. How about you?"
"Me?"
he said.
"I think it's an infection of the ovaries."
Silence. He shuddered and breathed heavily.
"By the way, that was a joke," he said.
"Not funny," she said.
He groaned.
"I tried to make her laugh, but her sense of humor is too..."
She perked up and asked who he was talking to. He replied,
"To my joke writer. I guess I'll have to fire him.
If you don't come over here and sit down right now, I'll start singing," she threatened.
He shivered and laughed. His laughter was as screechy as a donkey's bray, a self-sustaining laughter, and she secretly gulped it down like medicine, like a prize.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?